TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
Yes, it is on the all-new Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com. I'm Rami Makhlouf, Manny Hill, other side of the glass, and Wolves reporter Danny Cunningham. And on the action, too, if you want to get in on the action, 651-646-8255 is the number to dial or tweet us at Score North. And I wanted to start the show off with just some good old-fashioned belly aching and complaining. Why the hell is the All-Star break so long for the NBA?
I love it.
I have withdrawals. Yeah, because it's work. It's work for you. You got some time off. I'm having withdrawals, man. I don't even know what to do. And like, it's been well documented. I watch a lot of TV outside of sports. Like, sure. I have 50 shows that are scheduled to record the entire series on my DVR.
And How does that work?
One day I'll make the list and we'll put it on scorenorth.com.
Please.
But that doesn't even count Netflix and Hulu and my parents' HBO Go account that I use.
That's
and
clutch.
My parents' Showtime Go account that I use.
Also clutch. Like,
all that is outside of the DVR. But even with that being said, and my busy entertainment habits, I have NBA withdrawals right now, man. And I thought the Wolves were playing tonight. They don't even play until tomorrow.
Nope, not tonight. It was so bad for me, and granted, at the beginning of this break, like last Wednesday when the Wolves wrapped up that game with the Rockets and I finished writing, and I was ready for the All-Star break. I was ready to not have to worry about basketball
for
a week.
You posted that story and it was like a kid on the last day of school.
That's what it felt like. It felt like I was taking my last final before spring semester was over. Like I was ready for a break and I was happy to have it. And I watched a little bit of the Rising Stars game on Friday night. I watched most of Saturday night's festivities in Charlotte with the dunk contest and the 3-point shootout.
Sunday you binge watched The Office.
And
I thought that was Sunday, wasn't it?
No, that was Monday.
Was that Monday?
Sunday, I didn't watch the All-Star game.
Nothing?
Like here and there, a couple.
Really?
Couple minutes.
I thought it was an entertaining game. I don't know. Manny, did you enjoy it?
I ducked in and out of it. I saw a little bit of it.
I'm the only person here who watched all four quarters of the All-Star game.
But I haven't watched an All-Star game start to finish since probably 2003.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Monday, we had a staff meeting at 9 a.m., mm-hmm. and then Manny and I recorded our episode of Raised by Wolves for that day. I got home about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I watched 18 episodes of The Office.
Well done, sir.
Like 18
well
of them.
Well done.
Netflix asked me six times if I was still watching. I was.
That is an easy thing to fall into.
And the last time it was like, are you okay, Danny?
And then I looked at my phone.
Danny, 18 episodes, really?
I looked at my phone.
You don't want to watch anything else?
Like 9 hours had gone by. I'm like, oh, man. Maybe I do need to go
I've
to
done
bed.
It. I've done that. I have definitely done that with multiple shows.
And then last night, I was going to watch college basketball for the first time all season. I was going to watch Duke and North Carolina. I had it on. 33 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson blows out his shoe mm-hmm. and hurts his knee. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as Duke basketball's Twitter account tweeted out that Zion would not be returning, I put The Office on instead because I had no interest in watching that game. Reed Forgrave, who covers the NBA for CBS Sports, and he used to cover college basketball for them nationally and a couple other outlets. He tweeted at halftime, he goes, that was one of the worst halves of basketball I've ever seen. I quoted it, I said, me after watching one half of college basketball. That's how I felt. It was just horrendous. I can't do it. I don't know how people do it regularly.
Yeah, I had a tough time with it too.
And
two of the top programs. Now granted, the best player of both of those programs.
The only
was
guy
out,
I cared about watching
but
left.
That's two of the top programs, and even that was, you know, kind of hard to watch at times.
I just wanted to see Zion. I saw they went like
you just
a combined,
wanted to see Michael Scott.
That's what I ended up seeing. I saw at halftime and they were like a combined 3 of 34 from three. And like their threes aren't even that long.
Right.
The 3-point line is not that far in college.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
So I don't think I missed much.
You're not having withdrawals like I am.
No, I mean I went to practice yesterday. Like okay. I talked to Ryan Saunders.
So you got your fix.
Like, I covered a practice yesterday, so that kind of put me back into it.
And yeah.
I'll probably watch a game tonight.
Didn't you write an article yesterday, too?
I wrote a column the other day. I wrote my practice article last night, too. So I'll probably watch Cavs-Suns tonight because that's kind of like an eat-your-vegetables game.
You love watching those tanking games.
Well, and you're right. You are right.
I was going to say, why? Why do you hate yourself?
You're spot on. But I also, I like to try and watch every team at least once a month. And if a team like Cavs are playing a team like the Suns, that's one game I can knock out two teams I don't want to watch.
Two birds, one stone.
I'll watch a team like the Bucks four or five times and the Warriors the Warriors less because you just kind of know what they are at this point.
Yeah.
The Lakers four or five times. Like, good teams get watched more often by me because they're going to be in the playoffs. But like, if the Hawks are playing, the Hawks have maybe been elevated to like twice a month now because they've been really fun lately. But like, I don't want to watch the Cavs more than once a month. I don't want to watch the Suns. I don't want to watch the Bulls. I don't want to watch the Knicks. Like, I watched Knicks-Hawks on the last night before the All-Star break last week just because I'm like, all right, I'm done with them. Yeah, perfect. Great. So that's what my night will be tonight.
That's like when I would repurpose papers I'd already written in college for other courses.
I did that. So college story here. I had an internship at ESPN Cleveland is where I was an intern back in the day when I was in college at beautiful Lake Erie College in Painesville, Ohio. And at the end of your semester of your internship, you have to write a paper and turn it into your advisor and you get graded on it. So I wrote a paper, turned it in, whatever. I got an A for the internship. And then I had a second semester internship with the same company.
Mm-hmm.
So like that internship was in the spring. And then over the fall, I was an intern and eventually got hired. And this was fall semester of my senior year. I turned in the same exact paper. I did not change a word to the paper. I've done it. I've done it to the same advisor.
I don't see any reason why you wouldn't. He's not going to remember every paper that was written. He's going to look at it.
I turned in the same paper to the same advisor and got the same grade.
That's like hilarious. Watching Knicks and Hawks or Cavs and Suns. You're knocking out two birds with one stone.
Yes.
And you're getting your NBA fix. Is there any games that are nationally televised tonight without like League Pass? I might watch some bad basketball just to get my NBA fix. Manny, are you hurting for basketball as much
Celtics
as I am?
Celtics Bucks is tonight. That'll be a good game. I think that's on TNT.
Okay.
Yep. And then Houston and the Lakers play at 9:30 tonight on TNT as well.
We've got Philadelphia tonight.
That's a league pass game.
Danny just found the game pass. I'm watching. It's Bucks Celtics.
Celtics, yes. Yeah.
Portland, Brooklyn, the Allen Crab battle will be fun.
Okay.
That'll be a fun game. That'll be a very fun game.
Or
you could watch Cavs Suns. Starts at 6. That's some early basketball.
I'm going to pass.
And you get it out of the way.
I'm going to pass.
Like, you can be done. You can have your vegetables digested by the end of the night after watching that game.
Could you watch that game, too, and be like, which one of these teams would Zion Williamson not want to play for?
He's both
likely going to end up with one of those two teams, if not like the Knicks or something.
Cavs don't lose draft lotteries. You guys know my stance on this. I've said this a couple of times. The Cavs are elite at two things in the history of the franchise. The Cleveland Cavaliers are top of the league in two things: playing 45 minutes from where LeBron James was born and winning draft lotteries. No one is better than them at those two things. Other than that, they're not great.
Are you missing the NBA like I am, Manny? Or are you more along the lines of Danny where you needed a little break?
A little bit. I'm actually really excited to watch the Wolves play the Knicks tomorrow. You guys know the Knicks have not won a home game since December 1st.
Yes.
Good Lord.
December 1st was the last time the New York Knicks won a game at Madison Square Garden. And you want to know who that win was against?
Who was that against?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
I know. The best team in the league.
The team
right
that
now.
Has the best record in the NBA.
What a year it's been.
It's been amazing.
It has really been. I mean, this has been so much fun.
What part of it exactly has been so much fun?
This has been such a fun NBA year.
Let's go over it. Recap it for me. What are the?
There have been so many storylines, like not only here but league wide. I mean, they haven't. Right. If you're a Wolves fan, the storylines have not been very fun.
No,
but if you're not, they've been
well.
Great.
If you like drama, they've been fun.
We know drama.
The Jimmy Butler thing. Like, oh, to me, and I watched a lot of it from a distance, like the infamous practice. I saw that from Milwaukee, but I thought, man,
that... You also saw that through the lens of a Bulls fan.
True, but I saw that, and I was like, man, that
Jimmy
is...
Was right. Yeah, beat up those third stringers.
The Jimmy Butler thing basically, for Mackie and Judd, before you guys got here, basically carried the talkers of that show for...
Oh, like, I believe it.
Like a month and
it's
a half,
right
2 months.
For what we do.
Yeah, it was just like every day it was something else. Like we were reading something else or Jimmy would say something and then the practice happened and then it was unbelievable.
And then
it was
the an Rachel unbelievable Nichols 6 interview, weeks. Yes. And it was just, oh man.
It was an
man.
Unreal 6
oh,
weeks.
It was, mwah, it was just delicious.
I love this, the chef's kiss. That's one of my favorite things. Like I will tweet out, I wish there was a chef's kiss emoji. I would that would be in my frequently used.
It was delicious mwah. From a drama standpoint. I know Wolves fans couldn't have enjoyed it from a basketball standpoint, but just from a drama and like you said, storyline standpoint, that was an entertaining little episode for the Minnesota Timberwolves and the NBA. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Highly entertaining. And then the whole Tibbs situation, also from a distance, really entertaining.
Also entertaining, true.
The Ryan Saunders as a coach storyline, I think, is a good one across the league. I don't know how popular it is. It's certainly not making waves the way the Jimmy Butler situation did or firing Tibbs did, but it's a good storyline. Mm-hmm. Then if you look across the league, what James Harden is doing, Anthony Davis requesting a trade, the Milwaukee Bucks suddenly being really good. Like, all of these things have been a lot of fun.
And yeah. And there's been plenty of drama. I mean, just around the Anthony Davis story itself.
Now he's going to be on LeBron's show.
That's true. He and Antonio Brown and will be chains. Guests. And two, well, got to have two chains there. They'll be the guests on the
I think
the
LeBron
shop
had a hand in producing 2 Chainz's recent album that's going to, well, not recent because it hasn't come out yet, but
when you say produced, do you mean like financially or do you mean like he was in the studio on the ones and twos?
I mean, I don't know that he was on the ones and twos, but he was in the studio. Like there's video of him and 2 Chainz talking about the album in the studio.
Okay.
I don't think he was actually making the beats for him, and I don't think 2 Chainz needs LeBron's bankroll to make things happen at this point in their careers. But I think LeBron had a part in this album.
Okay.
So that's another storyline. I mean, guys making music.
For whatever that's worth. Yeah, as long as he doesn't come out with an album like Kobe, because that was terrible.
So or Shaq.
I thought...
Although Shaq's first album was platinum, didn't it?
Hot take here. I don't think Shaq was a terrible rapper. I don't think Shaq was a terrible rapper.
His first album was fairly successful. Now, whether or not it was good is kind of up for debate. But
who do
it was
we
successful.
Think is the best NBA rapper ever?
Oh, man.
Oh, Dame.
It's yeah, Dame I would have to say me. Probably Dame Lillard, right?
It's definitely not J. Cole because he missed that dunk on All-Star Weekend.
I was impressed just how close he got, to be quite honest
with
you. I
saw someone. He's 6'2". He's my size. Like, it's not like he's a small dude.
Can you dunk?
Yes.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
Really.
Manny, can you dunk?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, good. All right.
No chance.
I saw someone tweet out, like, the video of J. Cole missing the dunk and said double platinum with no dunks.
Can I tell you, like, as far as athletic feats... There is nothing I want more in this world than to just one time be able to dunk a basketball on a 10-foot hoop.
Get a trampoline.
No, I mean, just from standing on the ground or obviously a running start.
I
mean,
I need a running start. Yeah. I can't stand and jump and dunk.
And I know that will never happen because so about almost 10 years ago, well, like 9.5 years ago now, I lost a lot of weight. I lost like 135 pounds and I did that by setting goals and setting benchmarks that I would try to hit like every month. So then I lost weight and I was like, well, now I need new goals. And the goal that I set, Danny, was to one day dunk a basketball. And I was doing like all the workouts that you do.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8". So I was doing all the exercises and all the workouts that you do to improve your vert. And then on the radio show that I was hosting at the time, we had on Tim Grover. Mm-hmm. As a guest, and for those who don't know, Tim Grover is a trainer to the stars. Like he made his name training Michael Jordan, and then Kobe, D. Wade. Like he has
in
his,
Rami Makhlouf.
He has a lot of guys in his stable who have done some great things in the NBA and elsewhere. And I had just read his book, mm-hmm. And one of the chapters of his book, the theme of it, the entire theme of this chapter was you haven't failed until you quit. Like, and as long as you're still trying something, you haven't failed at that thing until you quit. Then it's a failure. So we had Tim Grover on the show. I explained to him the story that I just told you guys. I also told him that I was 2 knee surgeries in, and at the time in my early 30s. And I said, Tim Grover, should I continue to try to dunk a basketball, or is that wasted time and effort? And he put it in the nicest way possible. Now, again, this is a man who said, you haven't failed until you quit. He said, I would put my efforts into more realistic possibilities. That's what Tim Grover told me.
Wow.
After he wrote a whole chapter telling me I haven't failed until I quit. He told me, yeah, go ahead and quit. You failed at this. You're never going to dunk a basketball at 5'8", 200 pounds with 2 bad knees. That's just not going to happen.
You're a failure. You're a failure.
I can't deny in that aspect of my life, I am indeed a failure.
I'm sorry you'll never know that joy.
I hate you. I hate you so much, right? Because you can dunk a basketball out of pure jealousy. It sounds
like a Judd Apatow challenge.
It's not warranted. It's not justified. I wonder, Manny, how high a hoop do you think you could dunk on? Or how low a hoop, I guess I should say.
I could probably dunk on like 8.5 or 9 feet, maybe.
Okay, see, you're still...
What about you?
10 feet, no chance.
Maybe 7.5. Maybe 7.5.
I can reach up and dunk on 7.5. Dude. Like, I don't have to jump. I look like Yao Ming on a 7.5-foot hoop.
I'm 5'8", okay? I'm 5'8".
It's 7.5 feet.
I'm 39 years old.
That's less than 2 feet higher than your head.
And I have 2 surgically repaired knees.
I have a screw in my foot.
I'm just out of shape.
The one thing I do got going for me, which maybe it might get me to 8 feet, is I got super long arms for my height. So that helps a little bit in terms of reaching the hoop. So maybe 8 feet because of my monkey arms. That's the only reason that I could maybe dunk on 8 feet.
Got the wingspan.
Feet. Yep.
Wingspan helps.
Wingspan does help.
I am blown away by this conversation. We've talked almost no basketball. This has been the best Raised by Wolves ever. I'm willing to say that.
All right, we'll talk some Timberwolves right after this. They start the second half, theoretically speaking, of their season tomorrow. And,
okay, it's not the second half. They're 60 games in.
Just a common terminology. I know, you know, Manny knows, the people listening know, but that's the common terminology, all right?
Left.
Someone asked one of the players last week, someone asked Josh Okogie, like, now that you're almost done with the first half of your first season, I'm like, he's played 60 games. You're halfway. If you play in the finals, it's halfway.
We'll talk about what to expect or hope for in the second half right after this. He's Danny Cunningham, our Wolves reporter, Manny Hill. I'm Robbie McLaughlin. We'll be right back.
Stand back. We don't know how big this is going to get. ScoreNorth.com.
Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com. I'm Rami Makhlouf with Danny Cunningham, our Wolves reporter, and Manny Hill. Find Danny's musings on the Wolves at scorenorth.com. And if you want more Wolves programming, we have Myron on Hoops and more episodes of this very show all at scorenorth.com on the Score North app or wherever you search for podcasts. Just enter Score North Wolves and you'll find all our Wolves programming there. If you're looking for Vikings, Score North Vikings, Twins, Score North Twins, you get the idea. The Wolves, speaking of them, they will open up their second half, I'm going to keep using it, of the season tomorrow night, Danny. And what I wanted to spend this segment talking about with you guys is what you're hoping for and what you're expecting from the Wolves. Those can be two very different things in the remainder of the season that they have left. When you look at the playoff picture, that's probably a good place to start. They right now sit 11th in the Western Conference at 27-30 and 4 games back of the Clippers, who hold the 8th spot currently. They would have to leapfrog the Lakers and the Kings on their way to catching the Clippers to get that 8th seed.
I don't think they're catching them.
Okay.
I don't think they're getting into the playoffs. I think that it would take One, I think they would have to probably win like 18 or 19 of their remaining 25 games to get there. And two, there's too many teams to pass. I think that if they were four games out and in ninth, then it becomes a little more possible because you only need one team to play bad. Mm-hmm. But when you need three other teams to play poorly, and it's not as if Dallas isn't right on their heels, they're only a game back of Minnesota right now, and that's something that needs to be taken into consideration as well. And LeBron James is on one of those teams that you're going to be fighting with.
But
and
didn't I see a report, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, it all kind of blends together, that the Lakers are concerned about LeBron's groin injury?
That was the other day.
Okay.
I did see that as well. I think it was on The Athletic.
Conspiracy theory real quick. Manny, I don't know if you have conspiracy theory music ready to go.
I can find something.
They see that this season isn't going anywhere, even with LeBron James.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
they might make the playoffs. And they're planting the seeds for shutting LeBron James down for the rest of the season and tanking this thing for Zion.
I got something for you.
That's a very heavy conspiracy theory. Because here's my thing. The Lakers are currently three games out of eighth,
mm-hmm.
four games out of seventh.
All right.
Can get to seven and square off with the Denver Nuggets in the first round, that's a very winnable matchup for a LeBron James-led team.
Sure.
If they get anyone other than the Warriors in the first round, they can absolutely win that series.
Sure.
They can. The only team,
I just don't know what that does for them.
The only team I think they can't beat in the West is Golden State. I think that the Lakers, if the Lakers get the 7th seed, they could find themselves in the conference finals as long as they don't have to play the Warriors until that point.
Yeah, but if you're LeBron, you want to catch Golden State. You don't want to lose to Golden State again. You want to catch them and
sure,
pass
but
them
if
and
you
win,
can,
and
if
win
you're
more
LeBron
rings.
And you can get this team full of trash bags, essentially, to the conference finals, that's an accomplishment. Like, if he can get Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma and all these guys that can't play and aren't worth anything to the conference finals, that's an accomplishment.
Okay, can you just get Lonzo to shoot 50% or better at the free throw line?
No, he can. That's not going to happen.
My God.
But when we... and it's
he needs to be sent to basketball Siberia.
It's a stupid debate, and I won't have it until LeBron retires. But when the debate is had of MJ versus LeBron, is taking this team to the conference finals going to put him over the top in that debate?
No.
I don't think so, and that's what LeBron wants to do. He wants to catch and pass the
playoffs would be a black eye on that.
Not if he can chalk it up to injury.
I mean, he can, but also, like, one of the marks against Kobe is Kobe missed the playoffs in his prime. And now, granted, you could make the argument LeBron's not in his prime anymore athletically. I mean, he is 34. Like,
right.
It's I don't think that that's a preposterous statement to say. But I still think that that franchise wants to get in the playoffs, because if they can't trade for Anthony Davis, it's not a bad thing to have those guys get a little bit of playoff experience, whether it's in a five-game series against the Warriors that they would lose, or if it is in a potential trip to the conference finals if things break their way.
So I sidetracked you. We were talking about the Wolves with
my LeBron conspiracy. I'm really interested to see the types of adjustments Ryan Saunders can make and what he can do when he does get a full roster, essentially, because they are getting healthier. It sounds like Tyus Jones is going to be back tomorrow night. Robert Covington did some on-court things today at practice, even though he's not traveling for this quick two-game road trip. But I'm interested to see how different they look, and I'm interested to see the plan he was able to put together, because if you think back to when he took over, the Wolves have played almost every other day, or at least every 3 days since mm-hmm. he became the interim coach. He hasn't had a chance to kind of sit back and analyze things and be okay, here we can change this and this, and if he had been able to do that, he hadn't even had time to implement it, so he's still having to do a lot of the same things that they did under Tibbs. But now if he gets his roster back and he's had some time to maybe change some things and had a couple days of practice, even though half the team wasn't at practice yesterday, then I think that things might start to look a little bit different. We might start to see this team shoot more threes. We might start to see this team play faster. We might start to see them do some different things defensively when Robert Covington returns. And I'm interested to see what Ryan Saunders has up his sleeves as a first-time head coach.
Yeah, that last part with Robert Covington is the one that I'm the most intrigued by, because since Ryan took over, they've had their struggles on defense, and they've been outright bad in some nights. And it's mm-hmm. largely because they have had so many injuries, and mainly because their best defensive player has not played since he has not played in 2019. The last time he played was what, New Year's Eve?
It was New Year's Eve, I believe, in Miami, I think.
The Miami game?
Maybe one of them.
But nonetheless, he's their best. Robert Covington's their best defensive player, and he has not been in the lineup. And that we've seen the results, and the fact that they've been able to somewhat stay afloat in his absence is that's a tribute to Brian. I mean that he gets some credit for that, and I'd be very curious to see how much better they look defensively once Covington comes back in the lineup, and also once he has his full deck of cards. Once you get Tyus Jones back, you get Robert Covington, if you have Rose back and, Okogie, like, what's the rotation going to look like for all these guys?
I'm very interested to see that.
Because with Rose and Wiggins and Okogie, like, those are three guard spots right there. Like, Ryan's got to figure out, who's going to get how many minutes, and then you get Covington back in. All of that is going to have to be decided, and I'll be really curious to see what Ryan does and see if it's different from what Tibbs was
call
doing.
Call me crazy, but I am, but that has nothing to do with the statement I'm about to say, which is that with all these guys that Manny just listed off who you're getting back from injury, and you going back to that playoff picture, the Clippers are in tank mode right now with the trade of Tobias Harris. They don't want that eighth seed that they currently
they
have.
They want their draft
They
pick.
Desperately want out of it. And then the Kings are a much improved team and a young up and coming team who could make some noise in the coming years. But if LeBron misses any amount of time or is even shut down with that groin injury, and you're getting all those players back and you're looking at least one team of the three that you're going to have to leapfrog to get a playoff spot, doesn't even want that playoff spot. It sounds more realistic than it may seem when you first glance at the standings that they sneak into the playoffs.
I think it's much in that scenario, I think it's much more realistic if the Wolves end up with like the 13th or the 14th pick in the lottery, because they would be like one of the first teams out of the playoffs.
And if you think it's much more realistic that they have a chance. Now, let me read you some of the teams that they have to play and see if that changes.
Okay.
They have to play at Milwaukee.
All right.
Bucks have the best record.
Tough.
They have to play Oklahoma City twice, who they have beat, but OKC is one of the best teams in the NBA. They have to play Golden State twice. They have to play at Houston. They have to play at Denver. They have to play the 76ers again. Portland comes to town. They have to play Toronto, and then they have to play at Denver again. They've got the second hardest schedule in the NBA the rest of the way.
I just counted 12 losses, and they have...
and they need to go like 19-6 for this to be possible.
So 12 losses will put them at 13-12 the rest of the way.
They're not. If they finish below 500, they're not making it.
That's probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen.
So does it feel less realistic now?
A little bit, yes. I hadn't gone through game by game and looked at the schedule. Yeah, now it seems extremely unrealistic.
They don't get to play Cleveland and Phoenix a bunch.
But let me ask you this, because I said the segment would be what you expect and what you're hoping for. Is that what you're hoping for, that they don't make the playoffs and get the best lottery pick that they can possibly get?
I think that's the best case scenario for the Wolves, because if you do make the playoffs and you are the eight seed, what happens? You go to Oakland for 4 days, you lose twice, you come back.
I hear Oakland's nice that time of year, though.
I'm sure it's great, but they can all go there on vacation. if they want to go to Oakland, they can go to Oakland on vacation, or San Francisco, whatever city by the bay you want to spend your time in.
Would be San Francisco next year.
Next year would be San Francisco, yes, at the Chase Center, which will be without Kevin Durant. But
we're going to talk about that.
Oh, I love that conversation. That's my favorite. So getting back to the Wolves specifically, if they find themselves in the lottery, and I know Zion got hurt and I don't want to dive into that right now. We've got 2 hours later together to talk about this. If you can get a guy like Zion, maybe it's not even Zion. Just say you land in the top four, you can get a franchise changing player.
RJ Barrett or something.
And that alleviates the mistake you have with Wiggins. That helps. Because if you've got that guy that can be what you hoped Wiggins would be and have him on a rookie contract, you're in a much better situation. You are in a much, much better situation than you are currently. And it's not worth playing 4 playoff games to miss out on that potentially.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. The best thing for this team is probably not to make the playoffs. Can I tell you what I am selfishly hoping for?
The playoffs, so you can go to playoff games?
No. Not necessarily. I'll drive down to Milwaukee for that. What I am sincerely hoping for my own selfish purposes of entertainment and enjoying the rest of this Wolves season as much as I can possibly enjoy it, is more Taj Gibson, more Derrick Rose,
oh my goodness,
and more Luol Deng. Give me Bulls North for the rest of this season as much as
Bulls
I can
North?
Get it.
It's the Timber Bulls. Get it right. Is this your first day?
Wolves North more.
All Bulls North.
It's the Timber Bulls.
That's what I want for my own selfish purposes. I'm not going to lie. When I see Lou out there getting run and getting meaningful minutes and doing things with it, and I see D. Rose doing what he's doing with the minutes that he gets, it as a Chicago native, it warms my soul a little bit. Look, this is the first time I moved to a new city. I'm kind of by myself out here. I don't have a lot of friends.
Okay, this is not the first time you've moved to a new city.
It is.
Where are you from? I mean, what'd you say? You were a Chicago native. Where did you work last?
The first time I moved to a new city by myself, where I don't have friends or family surrounding me. So
I've done it twice in 13 months. It's not that bad.
It's like a warm blanket wrapping you up. When I see what the whatever you want to call them, Timber Bulls.
There you go.
Bulls
now you're
North.
Catching on.
When I see what they're doing, it gives me the warm and fuzzy. It's like you wrap me up in a blanket and gave me a cup of hot cocoa.
So you just want to see like Taj and Luol and
I want
and
these
Derrick
guys
Rose, like starting. All
yes,
the games.
I want them playing like full 35 minutes.
Yeah, you want full on Tibbs.
I want
mode,
them
right?
to bring Joakim Noah yeah. in.
Do you
want to
watch the game with Tibbs? Like, do you want to find him and go sit on his couch and watch while he sits there with that smile, with that grin that he had on while he was watching TV? While
we
he was on TV,
toughness. We showed a lot of toughness down the stretch. I thought our team did show toughness.
I mean, yeah.
It'd be tough watching the game with him.
He has a great smile, though.
I wonder how many Wolves games he has actually watched.
Oh, he hate watches them. You know that. You know he's got to hate watch those games.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that for a second.
No, I'm sure he does. They said when they were playing the Clippers that Doc Rivers called him for some insight that he might have on the Wolves, and he said he wouldn't do it because he still knows and respects people in that building.
Which is good. I mean,
I
that
bet
is
you
the
he
right...
gave up some info.
It didn't work.
I would bet you he gave up some info.
Well, he didn't give him good info.
No, it didn't work.
Mean, Doc, you just got to tell him to have toughness.
He didn't have the scouting report.
What do we do? Tibbs
didn't have the scouting report. Tibbs didn't have the scouting report because Luol Deng was playing and Tibbs never played him. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Luol Deng and Josh Okogie were playing.
Yeah, guys that really didn't play under Tibbs were playing. That's why the Wolves won that game.
That's true. That is true. But is there any way that they can get Joakim Noah? Is it too late for that?
Why would you want Joakim Noah?
You want to sign Carlos Boozer off the street?
Oh, is he available?
He's not playing anywhere.
Is his hair still weird, or is that probably
Aaron Brooks has got to be around somewhere.
Aaron Brooks is probably not working right now. I'm sure you can sign up Aaron Brooks.
You want to try and get Kyle Korver from Utah? See if they'll buy him out?
What's Keith Bogans up to these days?
Oh, man. Kirk Heinrich? You're going deep on that roster now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Captain Kirk, he's not busy. I'm sure he's free. We found out he's a trainer of some sort somewhere for some performance center or
maybe
something.
He can teach you to dunk.
He's not a magician. He's a trainer, all right?
You never know.
It's Raised by Wolves. We'll take a look around the rest of the NBA and the latest drama surrounding Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Right after this, you're listening on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com.
You can tell everyone that we met online. ScoreNorth.com.
It's Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com. The home to the most entertaining Minnesota sports podcasts like Purple Daily, Purple Podcast, Mackie and Judd with Rami, which today will be Rami without Mackie and Judd, but with Manny and Danny, the same team that you're listening to right here. We're coming back at 4 o'clock right after Score North Live with Matthew Collar, which is coming up at 2 o'clock if you're listening live. Always like to take a look at some of the news and notes around the rest of the NBA in this final segment of Raised by Wolves. And the story out there again is another NBA player who doesn't want us talking about the thing that we all want to talk about when it comes to the NBA. And this time it's Kyrie Irving, who was asked about dousing rumors that are out there, rumors that arose from a video that went viral of him and Kevin Durant in a hallway talking during NBA All-Star weekend. And he was asked if he wants to pour some water on it to quiet those rumors. And this was Kyrie Irving's response.
What I do in my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's. It's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asked questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, because I have no connection to? Like, over a video? I'm asking questions about the fans, and you brought up the fans? Come on, man. You go for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like, everybody wants to hear an athlete talk about like this. A video, though, to pull water on it?
What I'm saying, it
makes no sense. This makes no sense. It's not real life.
It is real life.
It is real life. This is exactly what people want to talk about.
We do it for the likes and clicks. If you could go like all my tweets at Real D. Cunningham and click on all of my articles, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, saying that is like saying you only shoot baskets to score points. Yeah.
Duh.
That's our job. Our job is to get likes and clicks and listeners. And so we tend to talk about the things that we're interested in and that you, the listener, are interested in. And then when it comes to the NBA, the thing, and I went through this with Kevin Durant when he had his little tirade, and after he wouldn't talk to the media for 8 days because we were talking about his free agency, more than the game itself, even the thing that sells the NBA and keeps him in the headlines is stuff like this. This is exactly what he says. It's not fun. This is the most fun.
It's a blast. It can't get more fun. This is right. This is so awesome. This is why I love this league so much.
Exactly.
It's because we have stuff like this happening. We have stuff like Tristan Thompson tweeting out fake news in all caps after TMZ reported him and Khloe Kardashian broke up. Like, it doesn't get better. It does not get better than that. And
Kyrie's
going to
confirm that with some cryptic Instagram messages or something.
I think so. But okay. Kyrie and KD are going to be on the Knicks together next year. It's going to be great. And then we're all going to look back and be like, seeing him like, it wasn't real life. Yes, it was.
But I don't know how these guys, I don't know how they, again.
You would think if Kyrie would have picked up on one thing from LeBron, it would have been how to handle, like, being a free agent every year.
Yeah.
And how to handle that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, Kyrie was around it for many years.
Mm-hmm.
He knew this game. And he, with the biggest star in the league. And he doesn't know how to handle it better. I think he needs to make another phone call.
Yeah, I think he needs some more advice from LeBron. But this is the second time that an NBA superstar, first it was Durant, and now it's Kyrie, telling us in the media, and not me and you in particular, because we don't get to face those guys every day and ask them questions.
Wait until the Warriors come to town.
But telling us what questions they would like us to ask and what they think people are interested in. And they're dead wrong about what people are interested in. People eat this stuff up when you talk about free agency and trade rumors. And secondly, you don't have to answer, these questions, but you also can't tell the media which questions they should be asking. That's not how this whole thing works. And I don't know how they don't get that at this point.
And the other part of it too is, I would look at Kyrie and say, look, dude, you said...
You brought it upon yourself.
You said you were committing to the Celtics, and then a few months later, you backed out of that statement. So now it's like, what are you expecting people to... You think people are just going to completely just not talk about that with you at all? I mean, what is he expecting?
That's the wild part. Like, he's the one that brought up the phone call to LeBron.
Yeah.
No one asked him about that. No one would have known about that because LeBron would not have told people. You can sit, vets don't do that. That is not a thing that guys do. When a younger guy reaches out to them like that, it's very rare for a veteran player to openly expose that happened. Because I bet it happens more often than we realize, but no one talks about it. Kyrie's the one that unveiled that to the world. Kyrie's the one that said in July that he was returning if they would have him. And then he's the one that said 2 weeks ago, we'll see in July. He's the one that's done all these things. The media hasn't done it for him. The media has reported the things that he said and what's happened. That's the job of the media. Kyrie's the one with the decision. Mm-hmm. Kyrie could have made the decision 2 weeks ago that said, I'm staying in Boston. Did he? No.
No.
So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to speculate. That's what happens. He could have squashed this. He absolutely could have. He never needed to tell us he talks to LeBron. He never needed to say, we'll see what happens July 1st. I don't know anyone bleep. I need to do what's best for my career. Mm-hmm. He could have just said, I talked about it before the season. I'm not going to answer it until after the season. That could have worked. No one would have asked him about it again if he just said, I want to focus on this season. I'm not answering questions about a potential free agency for me. I'm here to talk about basketball. I'm not talking about anything else. And with Kevin Durant, he says he wants to only talk about basketball. And then 2 days later, ESPN, the magazine, has a cover story about him. That's not about basketball.
And he has a series on ESPN Plus.
Not about basketball.
That's not about basketball. It's about the shoe business.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry, Kevin Durant. The fans care more about which color uniform you're going to be wearing on July 1st than what your percentage is on pull-up threes from the left wing. I'm just sorry. That's how it is.
Or what your percentages are in terms of the shoes that you sell.
I kind of care about that.
And you know what, Kevin Durant? Every time you sign one of these one-on-one contracts that he's signed these last couple of years with the Warriors,
it's going to raise questions.
It's going to raise questions, and people are going to speculate. I mean, people speculated last year, even though it was ridiculous to think that he was actually going to leave Golden State last year.
I didn't think it was that ridiculous.
But there was some speculation last year. It was like, well, he's won a title. Is he going to leave? And I mean, then he ended up coming back, but I mean, what are these guys expecting?
And Kevin Durant had the opportunity to squash it as well. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He didn't talk for 9 days.
Right.
What because happens when you don't speak? People are going to wonder.
Right.
Kevin Durant decides that he's going to boycott the media at the same time the Knicks clear enough space to have two max salary slots this offseason. What do you think is going to happen? What's the best case scenario for you, Kevin Durant, by not talking to the media for 9 days?
That you do exactly what he wants you to do, Danny, and everybody in the media does exactly what he wants them to do.
People don't forget.
I know.
People are still going to ask. And I trust Ethan Strauss. What Ethan Strauss wrote and what people close to Durant have told Ethan is true. Like, why would Ethan lie about that? What does Ethan have to gain by lying about that?
There's nothing to gain by lying.
Exactly.
Clicks and likes.
He's not even on a click system. He writes for The Athletic. It's subscription. He doesn't need clicks. They don't have ads.
The one thing I will say is Kyrie is kind of right that people are making such a big deal about this video. Like, they very well could have been talking about free agency, but chances are it was just two guys in the hallway before an All-Star game shooting the breeze, right? Not every time. They are friends. It's not like every time Kyrie and Kevin Durant sit down or get together and talk, they're plotting their next move in free agency. Not every word that's spoken between the two is that. And when I was watching it, I was going, okay, it could be something, but it very well, very easily, and maybe more likely could have been nothing at all and nothing more than two All-Stars chatting in the hallway before an All-Star game.
Rami, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing.
So you think they want to create this kind of buzz so that they can then later go, I don't want this kind of buzz.
Did you see then after the All-Star game, Kevin Durant was named MVP, deserved it from the box score that I saw because I didn't really watch the game, but it looks like he deserved it. Did you see who the only player on the court at the end was waiting for him?
Kyrie Irving. I saw that.
They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're not dumb. Let's stop that right there. They're not dumb. They know what's going on.
So they're like that girl who you're chasing. And she's shooting you down, but she's enjoying the attention.
Oh, they love the attention. They love the attention. And you know who's giving them the attention this summer?
The New York Knicks. Yep. But they'll reciprocate that.
That would be really, really fun. Those two guys playing with the Knicks. And then if they win the lottery and get Zion Williamson.
I actually want Kyrie to go to Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn would be way more fun for him. Yeah. I think it'd be a blast. I still think KD's going to the Knicks. I think Kyrie in Brooklyn would be so much fun.
So if Kyrie goes to Brooklyn, where does D'Lo go?
I don't know. Or I want Kyrie to go to the Lakers.
That would reunite with LeBron.
That'd be hilarious.
They would trade for Anthony Davis. Because then, if Kyrie leaves Boston, they're not trading Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. They're just not doing that. So now Boston's not trading for Anthony Davis. So now the Lakers do have the best package. So now the Lakers have LeBron, Kyrie, and Anthony Davis.
And since you brought
that's what I want.
Since you brought up amazing. LeBron and Anthony Davis, and we brought this up earlier in the show, Anthony Davis, along with Antonio Brown, but for the purposes of this show and the talk that we're having right now on the show, Anthony Davis and Antonio Brown will appear on... And two chance.
There you go.
On LeBron James HBO show, The Shop. I'll be watching it with my parents' HBO Go account.
Nice.
Thank goodness for my HBO subscription.
But LeBron.
I think there's like a Reddit website or something.
And LeBron is another guy who loves to chastise the media and shoot down stuff like he's tampering with Anthony Davis. He's trying to run the Lakers. But then does stuff like this. And like you can't be any more blatant without just coming out and saying, yes, I'm recruiting Anthony Davis. Yes, we've talked about playing together. And yeah, we're doing everything in our power to make that happen. He's doing everything short of just coming out and saying that in terms of recruiting Anthony Davis. And look, there are no rules against it. The NBA determined that players can't tamper, that there isn't a rule against players communicating with each other and even orchestrating where they might go in free agency or orchestrating getting one guy traded from one team to another. It's not against the rules. So I have no problem with what LeBron is doing because he's not breaking any rules. He's not doing anything that I think is unfair.
And it's entertaining too.
But you can't do stuff like this and then chastise the media for pointing out that you're doing stuff like this.
See, I think LeBron had the issue with people saying that he was tampering, not that he was talking about Anthony Davis, because he was not breaking rules. Players, like you just said, players can't tamper. That's not in the rule book. David Stern said so as much when he was commissioner. There is no such thing as player-on-player tampering. There's organization-on-player tampering, which is what Magic Johnson's been fined for a couple times. But if LeBron's asked a question about would you like to play with Anthony Davis, and he answers it truthfully, because who the hell in the world would not want to play with Anthony Davis? Like, yeah, he would be asinine to answer it any other way. So I understand why LeBron was upset that that story kind of got run like it did, because yeah, of course he wants to play with Anthony Davis. Ask Kyrie if he wants to play with Anthony Davis. Ask Kevin Durant if he wants to play with Anthony Davis. All of these guys would say yes. It's just LeBron's the one that was asked the question. So I do understand him being upset about that. And for people saying it's tampering, because it's not tampering.
No, but he takes issue with the notion that he's recruiting, and he took issue with it when he and Maverick Carter made the trip to go watch Zion play at Duke. And
he took issue with that because so many guys went and watched him play because he was what Zion is now when he was in high school. He took issue because no one said that about them. And LeBron didn't talk to Zion. LeBron wanted to see Zion play. And I think that anyone in the NBA would want to go see Zion play.
But when you're not only the most high-profile basketball player in the world, but you're also in the new unique position of owning an agency and being best friends with the head agent. What's that?
Does not own the agency.
How so?
It was NBA did an investigation. He does not have any ownership stake in Clutch Sports. It's illegal
officially
for him to.
Officially,
he
doesn't
have any.
But it's
any
his
ownership
business.
Stake
it's
in
his best
sports.
Friend.
It's his friend's business.
His best friend is the lead agent at this agency.
That's fine. That's allowed.
It's his agency. Okay. I don't care what the paperwork says. It's his agency.
Nope.
And for him to act like there's that there's nothing for us to at least look into in terms of looking at him and Maverick Carter making these trips and going, yeah, they're probably up to something.
I mean, how many other agents do you think have been at Duke games watching him?
But he's
Rajon Rondo was right next to him. No one said anything about that.
Are those guys?
It's because LeBron's a star. Like, I understand his frustration.
Are those guys de facto owners of an agency? And are those
LeBron's
guys?
LeBron's not. Maverick Carter is. LeBron does not own Clutch Sports.
I know what the paperwork says. But we don't.
That's what you have to go by. That's what the NBA goes
by. Manny, do you know what's going on here? Does LeBron have an agency?
I mean, I think you look at it the same. I think you look at that whole thing with LeBron and Clutch Sports the same way you look at when people say like he was the GM of the Cavs. Like, he wasn't the GM of the Cavs. It's fun to like joke about, and it's fun to say, yeah, well, LeBron's really running that team right now. But LeBron wasn't running that. Like, LeBron couldn't make trades. He could go to the front office and say, hey, I want you to go get this guy. But evidently, LeBron's not the one that could pull the trigger on any deal.
No.
And it's the same sort of thing here. Like, LeBron doesn't have, he may have influence, but he doesn't have power
within
Clutch Sports.
Like in Cleveland, David Griffin, who was the general manager of the Cavs, he would talk to LeBron about potential guys that they're bringing in. But if you have that type of guy, you are dumb not to. Like in Milwaukee, John Horst is dumb not to run by any player past Giannis because Giannis is the most important person in the franchise. Here, it's the same thing with Carl.
Same thing with Kat, yep.
You guys are way too trusting in my opinion when it comes to LeBron James. And I have no problem with what he's doing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I see what you're doing, and don't try and get it past me and get mad at me that I'm pointing it out. That's Danny Cunningham. Find his thoughts, his musings on the Wolves at scorenorth.com. That's